A couple of weeks ago, I attended a big concert. And at the risk of giving away something of my awkward teenage years, I'll give you a clue who it was. Here goes. I never want to hear you say, I want it that way. I think whether you are a fan or not, you were singing with me. If you are old enough to have been exposed to some really good music. But honestly, I remember their voices a little differently. Less high-pitched, and definitely didn't scrutinize the lyrics like I do now that I have my own kids. It was good fun, but as I sat there at the world tour of the Backstreet Boys, or as my husband says, the Backstreet Bullies, I wondered, why did over 8,000 people pay lots of money, travel from across Gauteng to come and listen to the same music you can listen to on Spotify for 60 rand a month in the comfort of your own home? Why did I come? Well, all of a sudden, I had a common interest with 8,000 other people. I was part of something. Without meeting a single one, we knew exactly how to actively participate in the same activity. I had something to do. And luckily, no one could hear me sing at the top of my voice when we got to that song I had on repeat as 15-year-old when my high school boyfriend fell in love with my best friend. The being together with others who got excited about the same thing that I did created an enormous energy. I remember sitting behind four couples who were particularly invested in the concert. They often went quite hysterical when their favorite boy band member led the song. I didn't know them, but every time they looked around or walked past us, there was a Backstreet Boys connection. Like, I understand where you're coming from. Had I stayed home and played my favorite songs at top volume, I would not have had the same experience. The four of us that went together created a memory, a part of a story, even though we may never listen to another Backstreet Boys song again. And this gave me a glimpse into the magnitude of the event as the church gathered for the first time. Let's read from Acts 2, verse 41 to 47. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. The fellowship of the believers. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So what was happening as the Church of Jesus started gathering together for the first time? Perhaps I can draw some correlations to my example before, although of course what brought us together was very different. I think that all of a sudden, they realized that even beyond being Jewish, the Church of Christ had a common interest. They could be part of something profound that stretched beyond a culture, a language, a style, or a nationality. The basis of church, the body of believers, is gathering around the person of Jesus and living in his spirit. For this reason alone, they could belong. This is the foundation of what it means to be community in the sense that Jesus has invited us to be. On a secondary level, I think that without being trained or taught for years, they could immediately, actively participate in activities that drew them to each other and gave them life and significance. They had something to do. People want to contribute. We want our lives to mean something. Gathering in koinonia and fellowship calls us out to be the church and thus involves us in the activities of the church. And additionally, I think that being with others who were touched and excited and transformed in similar ways that you are sets free an enormous energy. They had momentum as they inspired each other. God was working through their stories of faith, through their experiences of his power, through his compassion in servanthood. The glue that caused this gathering, that bound thousands of people as one people, was something profound, real, deeply meaningful. In fact, it was someone, and they could be part of him. This too is what we are called to as the body of Christ. And perhaps as we go deeper into the scripture, we can pause and recognize three things the first Christians were particularly devoted to. These practices that they did when they gathered together facilitated deep growth in all their relationships. The I-thou relationship, as they got to know God personally in their lives. The I-you relationship, as they grew closer to each other. And the I-it relationship, as they answered yes to their calling to spread the gospel and to care for those around them. So the first practice as they gathered together, the practice of sharing God's word together. Have you thought about why over the ages the Bible was read and preached publicly and not only in the privacy of one's own home? Yes, I'm sure we hold each other accountable to understanding and learning and not inserting our own agendas and desires into God's word to the point that his voice becomes muffled in our lives. But there is a bigger picture than simply making sure we get it right. As we grow in understanding, we get to know the beauty of who God is and how he has loved us for eternity. Understanding flows over into appreciation and into our response of love. It's like when you begin to understand a person in your life and then appreciate things that didn't necessarily make sense before, and then find that you can love him or her for who he or she really is. Understanding is often facilitated more readily in community as we listen, learn, and share. Appreciation as we share God's word is contagious as we stand in awe of God's story and our story in his. And our response of love becomes not only a private act of surrender, but also a shared turning to him, worship. Together we journey on the long road from our minds to our hearts, from our intellect to experience, and we are face to face with the beauty of a loving God who created for love, in love. The 3,000 who were added to the body of believers devoted themselves to the teaching of the apostles. The apostles would, of course, share what they had learned and experienced of Jesus, but they would teach what he taught them when he taught them God's word. They met in the temple courts, eager, open, empty, ready. They were hungry to learn and to be equipped and transformed. Through the story of the first churches, we are also invited to devote ourselves to the sharing of God's word as we come together in our temple courts, eager to learn, to grow, and to allow ourselves to be transformed by the dynamic word of God. I remember when I was in my practical year just about to finish my studies, I spoke to a mentor about reading the Bible. I had a recipe. I could figure out the facts and the context and a little of the Hebrew and the Greek. I don't know if it was like that for you, but as a student, I was convinced that I knew everything. But at that point, this mentor invited me to open up to the possibility that God had not only spoken once a long time ago through the scripture, but that he speaks continually anew through the scripture. And one of these avenues to open up to his voice in our present, speaking specifically, uniquely, and relevantly for a time such as this, is listening together just like the first church did as they gathered. This is a practice that requires us to intentionally turn up, to turn our attention to God's voice with the attitude of the sincere and humble learner, ready to draw our sustenance from the one who really knows. We help each other interpret and discern God's voice speaking relevantly and uniquely now. And then secondly, devotion to the practice of fellowship. God is a relational God. He has always been the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, harmoniously existing as one. He opens up his divine love to include us. He creates us in his image and invites us to friendship. Something happens when we surrender to this love and enter into relationship. And here we meet not only the person of Jesus, but the body of Jesus. And we are invited into community. Christian spirituality is never something you do alone. When Jesus became flesh, he was human within a family. He did ministry within a group of friends. He calls others to discipleship, not to solo missions. So practicing fellowship is at the heart of following in Jesus' footsteps. The word here, the words that are used here is koinonia. And I want to offer perhaps the simple definition that it refers to connectedness with God and connectedness with others. That means that as we grow closer to God, we begin to feel the pull towards each other, his people. We become aware of a growing compassion for others in God's presence, welling up inside of us. And as we give ourselves to each other, we experience deeper connectedness with God. It means that we pray for each other, that we not only welcome each other at the communion table, but that if necessary, we bring each other. It may mean raising your introverted hand and waving at someone you met last week, just so that he knows he is seen within the fellowship of believers. It may even, who knows, mean having a cup of coffee with a stranger, because it's not a pre-existing friendship that binds us, but our common friend Jesus that brings us together. It is as much physically helping a brother or sister in need as it is praying for healing. It is both checking in on how an interview went as it is delivering food to someone who is overwhelmed. It is as much laughing together and celebrating life as it is mourning together over the pain and desolation that we often experience. It is as much listening to a good sermon together as it is courageously opening up and sharing our seasons of doubt. It is both entering into praise and worship together, experiencing the energy of God loving us extravagantly as it is holding the space of unanswered questions or concerns for our troubled country. Meeting together is a profoundly spiritual act. It's fellowship. It's a family gathering. It's caring for the body of Christ. Our devotion to the practice of fellowship is risky, of course, because it asks openness and vulnerability. You could get hurt. The church isn't perfect. We certainly don't have a perfect track record. But I think it is a lot more risky not to practice fellowship. Isolation is colder than disappointment. Not experiencing love is more painful than it is to experience imperfect love. I think even strained relationships, tension and conflict is better than utter loneliness. Dismantling this channel of God's grace is more disruptive than recognizing that the flow of God's perfect grace may be through broken vessels. And that brings us to the third practice as the church gathered for the first time. Practicing the presence of God. Brother Lawrence says, the most holy and necessary practice in our spiritual life is the presence of God. That means finding constant pleasure in his divine company, speaking humbly and lovingly with him in all seasons, at every moment, without limiting the conversation in any way. The early church was hungry for God's word through the teachings. They were eager to get closer to him and broke the bread and drank the wine, savoring his very real presence in their lives. They spent time in prayer, listening to him and sharing their lives with him. They were praising him and enjoying, delighting in what he was doing in this community. They were serving him. My interpretation? They sought all ways possible to find pleasure in his divine company. What an invitation for us. Through silence, his company. Through worship, his company. Through serving, his company. Through conversation with the one in front of you, his company. Through the bread and the wine, his company. Through giving, through prayer, through singing, through helping and being helped, through eating together, through receiving encouragement, through miracles, both extraordinary and ordinary, his company. Our gathering together can be a means by which we receive his grace and give his grace. Are you here to see and hear and touch and taste his divine love? Are you wondering, anticipating how this Sunday service, this life group gathering, this opportunity of serving, this conversation with a fellow believer will reveal God to you? Or are you wondering how this moment as we gather together will draw you into his company? I think the 3,000 that day were bubbling with this anticipation amidst all kinds of hardships, despite many challenges, concerns, dangers, living in my perspective in far worse times than ours today. The story of the first church, the testimonies, the hardships they went through, the challenges they faced, leads me to see and believe that these gatherings weren't simply feel good, escape from reality type of moments. They weren't shallow cliques where you were in or out, or expected to put on a mask hiding who you were or how you're doing. Here, people found acceptance. Here, people found sustenance. Here, although not the only place, people experienced God working. Can I share with you one of my experiences of a gathering here at Mosaic? I came to our gathering, and that day I was feeling overwhelmed and tired and afraid even. And as I entered, I was met with sincere smiles at the door. I then sat next to someone who knew me and saw my anxiety. She saw me and asked, "What do you need?" My colleagues prayed with me and encouraged me to be bold. I sang the worship songs with our community and felt inspired and moved. I felt that there was more at work here now than my own capacity. We prayed, and someone was praying the words of my heart. I felt consolation. In the silence, I found solace. I preached. And as I looked at my phone afterwards, a mentor had sent encouragement. He had been praying for me. I walked out and had coffee, good coffee, laughed with familiar faces and met some new ones, shared stories. I caught up with how people in our community were doing. I watched as people connected and children played together without knowing each other's names. The chicken spring rolls were sold out again. Next time I'll get there earlier. And I realized, this is my church. This is my community. And God loved me through this community that day. I left feeling fulfilled, loved, supported, and inspired. May we have this community, and may we be this community for each other, each time we gather together as the body of Christ. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you for drawing us into your presence as a community. Thank you that you love us unconditionally, that in your presence we find acceptance, significance. Lord, we pray that as we gather together, as we grow as community, deeper in relationship with you, closer to each other, and more meaningfully living out our purpose, that we will follow in your footsteps, that we will know your voice, that we will be eager to learn, to experience, and to love. Holy Spirit, we turn to you. May your powerful presence be at work in our lives every day. Amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord. May the love of God our Father, the forgiveness, the grace, and the friendship of Jesus Christ, his Son, and the fellowship and the power of the Holy Spirit be with each of us. Amen.